And now back to your regular programming.
You've never heard less productive analysis. Heard nationally, it's the Believe in FCS Football Podcast with Joe DeLeon and Sean Anderson.
We're back here for another episode of the Believe in FCS Football Podcast. A very sick Joe DeLeon, a very normal Sean Anderson. Actually, a very hurried Sean Anderson. Sean, how are you doing today?
Hurried.
Oh, because that's my cue to continue. Sean, you want to do the read? Sean has a very tight schedule today, so we have to do the read now. Over-under on how long this episode lasts.
That was my best Muppets-style joke, where, you know, it's just as deadpan as it can get. regardless, no, I'm doing good. It's just always the stress of, all right, I know I have this time, but as producers, I think Joe and I both understand how fickle things can be. Where you can look down at your phone and realize, oh, I don't have 30 minutes. I have 6. And we got to figure this out. And it's not just producers. It's people in media all over the place. You know, you think you're booking radio spots. You think you have time. And then, I do have to jump from this. Because even if you're doing some really cool stuff, you're constantly moving, constantly moving, constantly moving. So it's kind of still kind of getting inundated with that at a higher level is what I'll say.
Yeah, I don't think you'll ever get inundated with it because it's just like it's never easy to properly manage. But
how are you doing, Sniffles? How's your day, Ben?
Shut the fuck up. Don't call me Sniffles.
Sorry.
Don't undermine me. Don't patronize me.
Hey, sick. Hey, you sick lad. What's wrong with you?
I'm sick. We're moving on.
No, what are you sick with?
I have a sore throat. Okay, and
What happened? Drank too hard last night.
No, I have actually, and I know that you're going to laugh at this. I have decided that for the next month, I am not going to drink.
Oh, you
think that holds.
My house has stated, hey, maybe January we ease the brakes a little bit and try to do a sober January thing, which I'm going to ride it out, see how we do. Obviously, taking it back a couple gears. But I mean, national championship games in January, a lot of good bowl games, a lot of FCS national championship in January. How are you going to be? Are you going to be soberly not watching whoever the two teams that we picked to be in the national championship to make it? And
well, that's why I'm
look
doing
at that. Look at that teaser.
That's why I'm doing December because there's the holidays at the end of the year, but then there's New Year's, and then to your point. First of all, if you hypothetically are out here in Los Angeles for Radio Row, like we're going to want to go do stuff. I'm not going to be that, that lame ass friend that doesn't want to drink when we go places. But
I know
like,
you would love to, but
Yeah, and no matter how much I try, that you're going to probably incentivize me to drink. So I'm taking this month off. I drank too much when I was home in just a week span, and that is enough to hit the reset button.
Wednesday to Sunday was a bloodbath.
Yes.
It was just a continuous, hey, it's party time. It's not party time anymore. It's a Tuesday and Wednesday's staring you right in the fucking eyes.
Yeah, you know you've been drinking too much when it starts to peel over into a couple days after. Like that's I stopped on Thursday after Thanksgiving and I was like, let's relax. And on Monday I still felt terrible.
I've been working out hard yesterday, today. Mm-hmm. I mean, just sauna, get it out of me. Get it out of me. I mean, maybe I can get to Friday, whatever, we'll figure it out. Well, I don't feel bad that you're sick because eventually you'll be fine.
Get sick and then I'll feel better about that.
Sure, of course.
Sean, we've got games to talk about. I wish we had time to address the drama that has unfolded in the FCS landscape, but like it's a little too complicated for me to understand. Sam Herder has done a really good job of covering it and how these teams are like paying for bids and games. Again, I don't fully understand it. We'll talk about it eventually. But before we get to the previewing round two, as we're doing right now, could you just share with our listeners a message from Bet Online?
Sure. A lot of really good props out this week. Amount of boxes of Kleenex that Joe goes through tomorrow is set at 2.5. 2.5. I'm taking the under on that one.
I don't have any. I've been using toilet paper.
Yeah, betonline.ag. You can find all these awesome props. Another prop. Well, I'm taking the under on that because knowing Joe, and this is a little insider secret here. If you have insiders like this for sports, go ahead and ask him about some nice, delicious locks. But here's a lock for me. Joe's just going to wipe his snot on his sleeve and go about his day like I've seen him do his entire life. So take the under on that 2.5 boxes of Kleenex to get over it.
I think you just encouraged unethical betting, by the way.
I definitely, you know what I'm saying. If you have friends that might have it, you know, that are a big Seahawks fan, right? Ask them what they think. I'm a big Joe DeLeon fan. So I track him. I follow the reporters that track him. You know, I'm in on the beat on Joe DeLeon. So if the, what do you think, an Advil? What's your
I just took some Advil. I'm chilling.
Over under on Advil pills before the evening closes is set at 12. I am taking the
12. Fuck.
Joe is a man that cannot survive without vitamins and coffee and
I didn't consume any of that.
Other things. I'm taking the over on that. Anyways, Bet Online, always the fastest and easiest way to bet all of your favorite sports and events, whether that's NFL, NBA, NHL. I don't care about that. I'll care about NHL if the Caps are in the playoffs. Fraud fan, and I'll admit it. MMA, tennis, boxing, or even golf. Head to betonline.ag to join and receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Make sure you use promo code BLEAV, that's BLEAV, to receive your rewards. BetOnline, where the game starts. Hey, Joe, how are the Devils doing? Hey, Joe. Remember when you told me that they were going to be the Stanley Cup champions?
Wait, 2019? You're not following the NHL, are you?
No, I heard they were a dumpster fire.
This year, no, they won 14 of their last 15.
They stink. I can't wait for them to collapse.
Wow, that really fucking slapped. I'm cursing way too much to show. That really slapped you in the face,
didn't it? I don't think it did.
What is going to get Phillies slapped do? In the face? All right. Oh, so my team makes it to a okay, you're the one with the tight turnaround here, and we spent 6 minutes on banter, which is
I'm obviously fact, trying to pad some time here, pal.
We're back to our old days of spending way too much time bantering at the beginning sure. of the show. South Dakota State, Delaware, though, to get right into it, number one versus an unranked, unseeded Delaware team. And I very simply put this in my notes on this game. As much momentum as Delaware could have right now after the way that they played in the first round, there's only so much that you can do against the most well-rounded team in the playoff right now. And we've spoken so highly on South Dakota State, assuming that they are fully healthy and there aren't any issues, which doesn't seem to be the case. Their offensive line is great. Their receivers are great. The Yankee Twins are fantastic. The run game with Isaiah Davis is fantastic. Tucker Kraft just declared for the NFL draft. He's the best tight end in the FCS, possibly one of the best in the country. So this is going to be a really tough task for the Blue Hens to handle.
Yeah, Delaware and South Dakota. Delaware is, it's going to sound like a slight, but it kind of is, kind of isn't. They're South Dakota State Junior, and that's not just because their colors are the same, but their teams are built kind of similarly. They play similarly, where obviously South Dakota State's been more dominant, but when they're playing with momentum, they're hard to stop. Delaware, obviously, an offense that when it's clicking, can look like the South Dakota State offense. A defense, when it's clicking, has the potential to look like the South Dakota State defense. But unfortunately, they're playing their counterpart here, the bigger they're playing the person as they are the shadow, is what I'm looking to say here. So you're not going to be able to beat the person in this scenario, unfortunately. So Delaware, it was fun. I'm excited to see you leave because go screw. But regardless, come on, I'm sick of it. Glad Rhode Island didn't get this. that would have been going out.
Which
a
they could have. They actually yeah, could have.
They
gotten could have.
They definitely could have. But still, I'm sure I would have had a different tone if it was the boys playing right now. But I mean, it's second round of FCS football. It's about as good as it's going to get. There's going to be one or two upsets in this round. There will be, and we don't know what they are. We're not going to claim to know what they are. It could be Gardner-Webb. It could be Delaware. I'm not going to say I know which one it is. I'm not going to call an upset watch for any of these games, but it'll happen. So just sit and enjoy these games.
Yes, enjoy these games. I don't know why I got so thrown off by that last statement there, but I think you make a really good point.
Of course I do.
Where this is probably one of the easiest matchups for South Dakota State in the playoff, like this, as good as and as much as we want to hype up Delaware, a CAA team, they are not even match for South Dakota State. Their challenges are going to come later in the bracket, and we're going to spend more time on preparing and talking about those games than we will on this one, because it is not a very competitive matchup. Holy Cross versus UNH, though, I would argue, Sean, is a far more competitive matchup, because UNH, as much as we were out on them, damn, I'm having a tough time right here.
There you go.
As much as we were out on them going into the playoff and talking about how soft of a schedule they had, they showed that the CAA athletes that they're able to bring to the table are still a lot better than the Patriot League ones. And look, this isn't like a hot take. And I know the Holy Cross fans, as much as you guys want to scream at me, and I'm just know that the Holy Cross fans are going to come the same way the Furman fans did in our comments.
I hope they do.
But if you beat Fordham by a point and UNH did Fordham the way that they did, I have a lot of faith in UNH to pull off this upset. And if Dylan Lobb, I think that's the pronunciation, not fully replicates, but has another strong game, be afraid. As great as Matt Sluka has been, and I think he's very talented, he is the best player on your team as a passer, as a runner, I feel as an overall team, it is a buzzsaw to be going into this matchup. And it's not like they have to travel far. This is a close matchup between these two teams.
Yeah, it's tough for me to ever say that when Josiah Silver's on the field, there's a better player. But Matt Sluka is that dude. He has been a dynamic on the ground and through the air. He has made this Holy Cross team respectable in my eyes. And it's respectable for Holy Cross, but still respectable in the FCS landscape. When I saw them ranked and I saw them the whole time, I said, hey, look, this offense is kind of churning. They're still winning games. And as much as like, oh, give the boys some love, let somebody else from the Big Sky make it, whatever. I had at points, at times this year, to say, Holy Cross, not saying they're top five legit, but they're legit enough to pose a threat in the postseason in their game. All right. UNH would just pull the dismantle. They put on a clinic last week, though. So you're Holy Cross. You're sitting here. You have a good team. Stop the buzzsaw. Stop the momentum, because UNH is coming in hot, and there's nothing that UNH likes to do more. All right. We saw it. They love to start slow, and they love to just they'll just turn it on for the last 6 weeks of the season. NCAA playoffs is a little bit different, but regardless, in the CAA, they just win down the stretch, and they're continuing to do it. I think their coaching is really good. I think it's improved a lot since last year. I think it's improved tenfold since last year. Just now the game plan and operate. Defense flies around. And I say that. That's a crutch phrase for me, but it does. I got to respect teams whose defenses fly around. So Matt Sluka's got to have the game of the year, I'd say. His game of the year this week.
Yeah, and again, I give credit, even though I rarely do, for Holy Cross, for the season that they put together and how good they played. To finish undefeated, to have an FBS win, to be a seeded team is commendable. But again, like, this is, it's it's kind of like if like Tulane went undefeated and went into a bowl game playing against Wisconsin or Iowa. Like, they're not great this year. Their record's not great. But there still is an obvious and blatant talent gap. A very, very obvious talent gap between these two teams. There are a lot of dudes on that UNH roster that are really freaking good players.
Yeah.
But shit, we've got all these guys that are entering the portal. Watch out for a lot of those guys entering the portal and going to massive programs. It's very, very possible.
Yeah. Who's buddy on Florida State making huge plays out of Albany?
Jared Verse. I could see Josiah Silver doing the same deal.
Sure. Why not? Go ahead, make a name for yourself. Make millions. I'm over it. I think it's a good thing, the portal, because I saw the numbers. There's a lot of FCS guys in the, I think it was like over 600 FCS guys in the portal right now.
There are a lot. And Mike Farrell, who...
Yeah. That's where I saw it.
He tweeted, like, I'm just going to stop retweeting the portal entries because there's too many. He said if your favorite team had their best player, just assume he's gone. That's basically what he said.
Yeah. So, well,
that's rough. What is going to be rough, though, Sean, is Gardner Webb having to face off against William & Mary. And like, it was all fun and games that we got to talk about Gardner Webb and the running Bulldogs, apparently is what they're called, which I had never heard of in my life, which shows you how much. No, they're the Bulldogs, but this year is the name for them. They were awarded the nickname, the running dogs or whatever the hell they're called. But again,
sure,
their one game run is over. You're playing a real team this week, which is William and Mary. And the running back pairing and then the defensive line pairing that they have to face is so daunting. I don't think this game is going to be close. Bronson Yoder and Malachi Emo have been the best, quite possibly the best FCS running back pairing in the country.
Oh, that and Sac State's guys, even though one of them might be a quarterback.
And then John Pui and Nate Lynn, who we talked about Nate Lynn at the beginning of the season, like both those dudes are getting after the quarterback and statistically are two of the best in the country. Be very afraid. This is going to take like a real miracle to perform well.
It will. And I know that I'm glad you brought up William Mary's run defense as well, because on the season, William Mary, 3,014 rushing yards, given up 1,533. They're doubling their they're literally doubling teams on how much they're rushing and then how little they're giving up. It's not great. You need to be a dynamic team if you're going to beat William & Mary. You need to have a pass game also that can supplement and get you some first downs. So if you are a running team, you can then try to make up for it. But it's going to be tough as hell for you to try to keep up with them. So Gardner Webb, dial up some trick plays. Dial up some trick plays. Dial up some tight end, good seam routes to get you 15 yards. Then maybe run the rock outside. You have to get schematic. You can't keep doing what you've been doing, because this team is not playing around. William & Mary, not playing around this year.
No, absolutely not. They are legit, and I'm excited to see how their trajectory is going to play out. I'm also excited about this game between Montana State and Weber State, Sean, because holy hell, I was like thinking about this, and the way that Weber played, and now that they've got Josh Davis back, is huge. A listener commented, and I almost didn't even think about this. Isaiah Fonse is supposed to be back for Montana State. So
they've been waiting for him.
I simply put this, and it's in our document, Sean. This game is going to be won at the line of scrimmage. This is going to be two battering rams slamming their heads into each other. This is going to be the epitome of Big Sky football, which is hard-nosed, aggressive rushing. That's what we know them for. I know that we've got some teams that will air it out, but as we know, what Montana State has done all year without Afonso, he's run the hell out of Chambers and Mellett. Now you got him back, but you got to face off against another team that runs the ball really freaking well.
You read my mind. You did. And you read it because of that's what Big Sky football is. That's what it is. And we've had teams, Eastern Washington with Eric Berrier. You aired it out. Good. You tried to change the dynamic of Big Sky football. Doesn't matter. This is what it is. Huge rematch. It's going to be a boxing match. It's going to be a boxing match the entire game, because Weber's pissed. They had him in the first matchup this year. They had him. Long snapper couldn't do his job. I'm not going to harp on it. I don't think Joe's going to harp on it anymore. It's just what it is. Now for Montana State, I don't think they're taking Weber State lightly. I wouldn't. You can't. You can't afford to, because in your heart of hearts, you know you escaped with one. You know you escaped with a win versus Weber State, because you had four safeties, which, I don't know, never happens ever.
No.
Ever. So you know you escaped with one. Now what are you doing? You're saying, oh, well, we beat them last time. Maybe we'll have some more magic and get two pick sixes and a fumble recovery touchdown and a block punt. No, you need to go out there and play offense and defense and special teams properly and soundly. And if you're overlooking Weber State, you will lose. Montana State, you will lose this week if you overlook them. I don't think they will, though. I think they're hungry. They're hungry from last year's loss in the national championship, and they want to get back there and try to redeem themselves. They have the team to do it as well. They do. They have a team that can do it. Don't overlook this Weber State team, though.
They're obviously on upset watch. And I think this is probably the biggest upset watch outside of the UNH game that we just talked about, which I don't think is much of an upset, to be completely honest. But as much as Montana State is on that watch, I got to say the fact that they're getting Isaiah Fonse back is very, very scary.
Yeah,
and for that reason, I am picking Montana State to win this game. I think that they're going to win. Are you in the same boat as me?
Yeah, I would say I am. I would say that I have to lean that way just because you're probably still a little pissed that you got shafted with the number four ranking, seeing that stupid North Dakota State gets Delaware, which I know we're going to talk about, or gets Montana. South Dakota State gets Delaware, and then Sac State gets Richmond, which we'll close with, but I don't even like that matchup for Sac State.
No.
Regardless, Montana State's going to be hungry. You can't waste this year, I would say. Even though they have young quarterbacks, you can't waste it.
So the next game is one that infuriates us. And sure. I found out this piece of information today, and I sent it to you before we taped. And I'm glad that we got this information today before we taped. For North Dakota State, Montana. I'm tired of seeing Montana. I want them to lose. I'm annoyed by their comeback that they made against SEMO because it was just so unexpected. And again, it plays into the whole thing that Sam Herter was tweeting about, and he wrote a whole column on it. And again, I want everyone to go check that out, of why they made the playoff. It's infuriating, and they're the most infuriating team this year. But an update from Lucas Sem, I believe he is a reliable source, has said that North Dakota State head coach Mike Entz said that he does not expect fullback Hunter Lupke, the team's leading rusher and NFL hopeful who missed their last game with a shoulder injury, to be available on Saturday. Currently working with medical experts outside of the region. So assuming if that is correct, no Lupke. No Hunter Lupke. And I wrote that in the notes without knowing that. And I said, this team runs through Hunter Lupke, and he has been the leading rusher. He has been a huge point for success. Not as much Cam Miller. They don't have a Christian Watson this year, man. This is all on Lupke, who has been the best player on that offense. Don't laugh at me for that voice crack.
I'm not. I know you're a little sickly right now.
As good as they are on defense, and as good as the athletes that they have with Spencer Wague and James Kazor, that is frightening that you don't have your best player. And I swear to God, Sean, if they like can't run the ball and Montana wins because of this, because they don't have Lupke, I'm going to be so goddamn pissed off. I'm going to be so mad if Montana wins this game.
Inconsolable. I'll be inconsolable because what a blessing that is for Montana. What a blow it is for North Dakota State. But North Dakota State, as long as we've been covering it, that has been the trickle-down team where they have depth, they have players, they have a scheme. And with that, okay, your turn to step up. Okay, he can't go? You're in. Go do it. And then they perform at, if not above or a little bit less than the person that they're replacing. You can't replace Hunter Lupke. He's going to be he's a star in the FCS. He's a star.
Yeah.
He'd be a stud in the FBS. We get that. But they're too deep, and they've done this before, and they've had guys go down to injury before. We've seen it, whether it be on the offensive line. Okay, go ahead, step up. Oh, you're going to the NFL too? Great. You get an extra game on your huddle or DV Sport. Regardless, it's going to be a God, I hate DV Sport. I know everyone's using it for the replays. I know.
I have DV Sport still. Somebody gave me access to some film on there, so I still have it.
Oh, cool.
don't want it though.
Sure, just taking up space on a computer.
Exactly.
I'm not overly worried. Doesn't mean I'm not worried. I'm not overly worried. So North Dakota State fans, you know, don't start getting them in a bunch. Just go out there, watch the game. Just watch the game.
Easier said than done.
I know.
My pick, though, Sean, for this, I still lean North Dakota State. Because okay. I think if SEMO did what they did, and they lost, obviously, and I think that they are a less talented team, they're not as good of a team, and they almost beat Montana, I am picking North Dakota State to win this.
I would pick them as well. I would pick North Dakota State to win. Also, on principle, I would pick them to win.
Okay. Sorry, I got a random... What the hell is this telling me that is disabled? Okay. So, Sanford, Southeastern Louisiana. So the Fighting Blake...
Is that your computer talking to you about your immune system because you're both robots?
Yeah, apparently. I was told that something disconnected, which is very strange.
Maybe your brain from your mouth.
Yeah, that tends to happen a lot, especially right now when I am dying. But... the Southeastern Louisiana Fighting Blake Ruffinos are playing Samford. And by the way, he was really happy you followed him today. He was really happy that you did that.
I followed him like 2 days ago.
Oh, did you? He didn't notice until today. He's too much more big time than you.
Whatever.
Got
a follow back from Big Timmy D, though.
Who's Timmy D?
Get juiced up. I'm not going to spoil nothing.
We got to schedule that, by the way.
Getting juiced up.
I told Jamie Williams we're doing that. He knows exactly what we're talking about.
Why is Jamie getting the inside scoop?
Jamie always gets the inside scoop.
Whoa, what is Jamie?
He knows about things before they happen. He knew that we were going to have a fight before it happened. I'm just kidding.
I need Jamie Williams to give us some scoop.
He also gives me occasional info.
I need some skinny Jamie. I know we're on the outs right now.
You don't like Jamie.
I love Jamie. I love Jamie. Him
and you don't respond to his messages. I do because I'm friendly.
I love Jamie Williams. Jamie, if you wouldn't believe some of the things that Joe has said about you over text.
I have not said. I have never said.
Oh, I'll pull the receipt. At least if I'm saying anything about you, it's on the show.
Joe has never said
Twitter fingers.
You don't say anything to him either. You don't say anything. You don't.
I talk to Jamie plenty.
No, you don't. I have never said you could. I would. It would take you hours to find something negative.
What is this,
negative,
the Jamie Williams said. Bowl?
Yes. The Fighting Blake Ruffinos are traveling to play Samford. And simply put, I know it's great that they won and they beat Idaho. And they had a fantastic week or round one performance. However, Michael Ayers, I feel, continues to air it out. He's going to have a great week. He statistically is and should be up for the Walter Payton. He has been fantastic this year. I think he's better than Duck Hodges from a couple of years ago. But regardless, great quarterbacks. The best quarterbacks win football games, simply put.
Yeah, I'm leaning Samford in this, even though Southeastern Louisiana just decided just to move on. That's what they decided to do. They said, no, they had the perfect mentality. They said, we're going to win by any means necessary, and they did. Congratulations. I'm happy for you. But I'm not that happy for you. Samford has been impressive, and they've been impressive all year. And whenever I've said or doubted them, even in my own personal life, they've shut me the hell up. So I'm sick of that. I'm sick and tired of that. So Samford, I'm leaning in this game.
I am as well, obviously, as I just highlighted there. Finally, this last game, this next game. This should be the end of Furman. I am on my last nerve because, like, it started with me just kind of arbitrarily saying,
why are you hating on the Dins, man?
Because, like, their fans don't like me. I don't know how it was so unintentional. It wasn't like the Holy Cross thing. They just don't like me. And some of them are very friendly, but they have, for some reason, created this. I have a disdain for them now.
I need a Furman hat.
Why?
Because
it's a cool hat. I like the Paladins. I think that they were a great program, but
they got a gorgeous stadium. I have a baseball from one of their camps.
Why?
Because I hit a home run there. Oh. So I just took it out of their bucket. look at me trying to diffuse you a little bit. I saw your forehead veins going ahead.
Impossible. Impossible. Their game against Incarnate Word should be the end of their run. Lindsey Scott is fantastic.
He is.
He is a great, great player. And as I just said with Michael Ayers, whatever you pronounce it. If you have a top five quarterback in FCS in a game like this, you have a very high chance of winning the football game. And their offense is unstoppable.
It would be a mega Furman move to beat Incarnate Word. And I'm buying into it. This might be my upset watch. Not to upset not even to upset Joe. Right? People will believe that it is. This might be a little upset watch for old Sean Anderson here on the FCS podcast. Incarnate Word has had such a great year. They've been so good. I've eaten my crow. I have had to walk back statements and say that they were washed. Say that without Cameron Ward, they can't do anything. I've said it all. I've walked it back. I've been shamed publicly. The Incarnate Word fans were relentless. I'm giving you another shot.
I'm so giving you another shot at me.
You're galvanizing
I'm giving them another shot at me.
Okay. Good for you.
Martyr me.
The only thing I will throw in there for this game, it is worth noting, and one of the best things that I've ever read, and I'd always believe this, but one of the best things that I read that I think summarized it, Lou Holtz in his book pointed this out, that if there is ever speculation of a coach leaving, it almost always has a detrimental effect on a program.
Sure.
And G.J. Kinney, who's the head coach, there is speculation that he might leave to go to Tulsa. His name has also been brought up at other programs. So that is one thing, even though I'm picking Incarnate Word to win this game, it is something to monitor because it could be enough to distract them. They could lose purely off of that.
I'm rolling dins, man. I think I'm rolling dins.
Roll those dins, baby. Last game to wrap us up, Sacramento State, Richmond. Look, Reese Udinski's great. That offense is great.
Yeah.
I'm not going to doubt Sacramento State, man. This is not the game that they're going to lose. Cam Skedebo and the defensive players that they have, Caleb Nelson, Armin Bailey, are both fantastic. I don't have any faith in Richmond. I'm just going to keep that very simple. I'm picking Sacramento State.
Sacramento State has had the formula all year. They've had the formula. They're just winning games. Formula, formula, formula. Richmond feels like a team that could disrupt the formula. Not break it, not beat it, but disrupt it. Disrupt it enough to make it close. Disruptive enough to make Sacramento State have to go deeper in their bag of tricks. Or just deeper in their bag. Say, hey, we're getting some pushback this year. We got to really start playing, boys. We're looking to the finals. Because, hey, look at us. We're the number 2 ranked team in the nation. You don't mess around with this Richmond team. They're going to go out there and play their hardest. They're going to go out there and they're going to dial it up. They're going to dial it up on defense. And you know what? They've got a damn good quarterback who's not, I don't think is too small for the situation. I think he's ready. I think Reese Udinski has been in the FCS long enough and has played in enough functioning offenses to know how to play in these situations. Sacramento State, more talented team, better formula. Correct. But right now, it's tough for me to be 100% all in on Sacramento State. I would give it a fair 65-35 shake for me.
Really?
For Sacramento State to win. Yes.
Give me 95. What?
Okay. Oh, why are you looking at me like I'm a crazy person?
This is a mismatch. This is a huge mismatch. The Spiders are getting squashed, brother.
Oh, this I don't like this energy from you. Are you trying to
my last leg energy?
This is your last gasser, and you said I'm going to try to beat the time here.
Yeah. I already recorded a half-assed reaction to the Georgia Tech coaching decision, and that
sure
I've been getting bashed on the comments of that. But whatever.
Stop reading the comments.
I know. Where's
Colin?
Know.
Colin's supposed to be our comment supervisor.
I know. Well, that's
he should alert us of all the comments that are necessary. Colin should be saying, okay, if there's a technical glitch comment about that, alert us.
I have not heard from Colin, actually, admittedly. There must be an election going on or something.
I haven't heard about him either.
Not someone. Yeah. Our thoughts and prayers with Colin Centric.
Yeah.
All right. At Joe DeLeon, at Sanderson Radio. Hit the subscribe button. We're going to be screaming plenty at the end of this round, so make sure you don't miss out. We'll be back with more comment where we messed up.
Back City on YouTube.
Axe City on YouTube.
You are ready to skip it.
Drive safe, everybody.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.